Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Once again, it is my privilege to introduce to you our very special guest, George Marshall, is here. Welcome back, George.
Oh, thanks, Mike. Glad to be back. It's always a pleasure.
George is, of course, from the Rhode Island International Film Festival, which is going to be going on this week. So good timing, George.
Thank you. Yes, it's actually our 20th anniversary, which it's hard to believe we've actually come this far over the last 20 years. And it's going to be a wonderful celebration next week.
20 years, and you've been involved with how many of those?
20 years.
I just wanted to kind of emphasize the fact that this is you.
Pretty much. I mean,
this is your life, George Marshall.
Well, it's actually the dirty little secret is that in November we'll be celebrating the 35th anniversary of our nonprofit organization, Flickers,
right,
which, of course, started the Rhode Island International Film Festival. And yeah, I started Flickers. So it's 35 years in November.
What an accomplishment, though. That's got to be something in the Guinness Book of Records, to start a festival like Flickers when you were 3 years old.
I owe you a lot of money. Our pre-conversation before the show, you were very flattering, and I appreciate that. Now, my running gag, for those that know me, is that I talk about Flickers and we talk about the film festival. I tell people, well, I was 6'2", blonde hair, blue eyes when I started, and look at me now. That's wishful thinking on my part, of course, but on the other hand, it's an interesting story to tell.
But anyway, you have a great face for radio, so that's good.
That's exactly right.
But now, we could kind of let people know that there is a new opportunity for people to see you in the flesh on television.
Oh, yeah. We started July 1 with a new program with Steve Feinberg of the Film and Television Office. It's called Double Feature, and it's on Rhode Island Public Broadcasting, Rhode Island PBS. And that's every Friday night at 8 o'clock with a repeat play the following Thursday at 10. And we look at films that play our festival. So it's called Double Feature because we present short films, mm-hmm, and then Steven Feinberg interviews folks from the film community. So it could be a writer, a director, a casting person, a costumer, a musician.
Right.
It's really a nicely produced program, and the folks at RIPBS have been great to work with.
Well, sounds like something our audience would love to take in. So check that out Friday nights at 8 o'clock, and then a repeat on Thursday night
at
10.
And I turn out to actually have a face for television, too. So
there you go.
You get to see me. Don't blink. You'll see me at the top of the show and at the end of the show.
All right. Well, we look forward to that. But let's just touch on the festival for just a moment before we get to tonight's subject, which is blockbusters. Summer blockbusters.
Summer blockbusters.
Is what you've chosen. But the festival itself is going to be opening Tuesday night, mm-hmm, and it's going to be at Vets this year.
Yeah, this year it'll be at Vets, and that'll be our opening presentation. It's all short films. It starts at 7 o'clock. It goes to about 9:30. And then we have presentations across the state for the rest of the week up and through Sunday. We'll be in Newport. We'll be in Woonsocket. We'll be in Providence, of course, which is our central location, mm-hmm, and Jamestown. And folks can find everything online at our website, which is www.rifilmfest.org.
All right, so check it out and get yourself to Vets and take in this wonderful event. Right now, I mentioned that we're talking about summer blockbusters,
yep,
as our theme for the evening, and George is always kind enough to do a lot of homework and bring things to our audience that I'm sure a lot of people have heard, but some of you may have missed.
And maybe not connect the dots.
Right.
The reason I thought this would be a great choice is because in 1975, the first major summer blockbuster was Steven Spielberg's Jaws, with music by John Williams. That film still holds up. It still resonates. And it scares people, even today, about going into the water.
Sure, of course.
And you look at current films like The Shallows, which came out this past summer, which pretty much as an homage to Jaws, and they had bigger, you know, they had a budget with special effects, digital special effects, which they did not have in 1975. Right. Everything in 1975 was fabricated by hand. It was, you know, animatronics.
Right.
And the biggest issue with that was that the shark sank. And ironically, that actually benefited the film because the shark was supposed to be seen in the beginning part of the film, and it didn't show. They didn't see it.
Right.
And the music was the bridge that got you to think the shark was there when, of course, it really wasn't. It's midway through the film that we actually see the shark for the first time, but up until that point, it's building anticipation, which made it so successful. I think the less you see, the better, because your imagination fills the gap.
Well, I know some women like that. Anyway.
You're going to get us into trouble on this show.
And some guys.
Very politically correct.
All right. Let's get to our first blockbuster, Captain America.
Yeah, and the reason I chose that is because currently Captain America is top of the box office. When you go to Box Office Mojo, it's made $1.151 billion since it came out.
B billion.
And the bulk of it is actually overseas. I mean, it used to be counting the U.S. box office as the top of the line. Now it's the overseas box office mixed with the U.S. box office. And now we're talking films that, you know, cost maybe $200 million to make. They're now generating gross of over $1 billion. And
this is
Disney. This is Buena Vista. The top three films on the box office right now are Disney. And that's Captain America, Civil War, Zootopia, Jungle Book, with Finding Dory creeping up very quickly.
Hmm.
So
all right,
we're going to be listening to music by Henry Jackman, who composed the score for Captain America, Civil War. And the first piece we'll be listening to is...
Stand for it.
I'm only...
Captain America, one of the great superhero movies. There's been a lot of them.
Absolutely, and I'm not sure if the audiences are tired yet of all the superhero action, but they keep making them. What you notice with the music, of course, is that it has this really strong tempo, mm-hmm. and you feel like there's something momentous about to happen, which I think is kind of a counterpoint. As the film climaxes, we come to the next piece of music, Adagio, which sums up what has happened with the action and where the journey that has ended for the...
We go from the superhero, the strongest man in the world kind of guy to a much different kind of movie.
Exactly. The thing that's interesting too, the last piece of music that we played actually sets the foundation for what's coming up next in the Marvel Universe, which of course is another sequel to Captain America, and you find what happens to the characters after this film ends. And it's mm-hmm. very dark, as you can tell from the music, and very portentous. Our next piece is Light Fluff. It's a Disney animation piece, and we decided to actually play one piece from it, and actually, that's the pop score by Shakira called Try Everything. The film score itself by Michael Giacchino is really quite powerful and wonderful, but we'll be listening to other music by him that he composed for other films later in this course.
All right, and this movie is Zootopia.
Zootopia.
All right, and another summer blockbuster. We will listen to that one, and then we'll take a short break and be back with more of
Incourt's Strictest First Post.
I messed up tonight. I lost another fight. Lost to myself, but I'll just start again. I
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Maino, and we're sitting with George Marshall from the Rhode Island International Film Festival, which is going to open this week. Yep. We're not actually discussing a whole lot about the films this week, but I want you to be aware of it. It's going to be at Vets, and George, if they want to get information, they can go to your website.
Absolutely. Correct? The complete schedule is up there, and you can also order tickets. And we have a lot of interesting free programs as well that are all described on the website. And that's www.rifilmfest.org.
All right. There you go. So take that in. 20th year of the Film Festival and the 35th year of Flickers.
Yeah.
So a lot of history behind George. And George does a lot of speaking and teaching. We talked about his television program, which airs on Friday night at 8 o'clock and a repeat at 10 o'clock on Rhode Island PBS. So catch that and get a lot of background information between him and Steven Feinberg, who's a pretty knowledgeable guy, too.
Very knowledgeable guy, and he's kind of my partner in crime. We do so much stuff together. But Steven's great. He works with everybody in the film community in the state, and he's a filmmaker himself. We're actually showing a documentary he created on Claiborne Pell and providing free tickets to the community. It's a world premiere, and that'll be Thursday night during the festival this week, and that'll be at the Jane Pickens Theater in Newport, 7:30, and you can go on our website and get tickets for that.
Excellent. All right. That sounds like a great take in itself. All right. We talked about a couple summer blockbusters so far. Mm-hmm. We talked about the Captain America movie this summer and Zootopia, both from Disney creations.
And the next film is Disney as well. And with two different divisions within Disney and animation, there's the Pixar division and there's Disney animation, both under the aegis of John Lasseter. And he's the fellow that supervises all of this and formerly was with actually both of them, but was the manager, the director of Pixar.
Now, why would they keep Pixar? They bought Pixar.
They bought Pixar for billions.
And why would they keep that company versus just blending it, do you think?
Well, I think because they were at different stages at the in development, and Pixar was very solid with its releases from Toy Story. Disney Animation went through some ups and downs and now has finally balanced itself, and they have different visions in terms of the films they're doing. And if you compare the two, we just did Zootopia, which reflects how the most recent animations have been developed. And then this one here is a Pixar film, Finding Dory, which is a sequel to Finding Nemo. And different look, different feel, even though they're under the same umbrella as Disney, it's the different approaches to filmmaking and storytelling, I think, that make them distinct.
Okay, great.
And if you compare Zootopia with Frozen, same factory kind of, that made this, it has that kind of feel to it, the Frozen feel, in terms of the storytelling. Dory is different, and Dory is very Pixar and very adult. And I think it's fascinating because the audiences have queued up for this film because they loved Finding Nemo, and it still has legs.
All right. I think if we listen to this first piece that we're going to listen to from Dory, you'll actually have that underwater feel.
Yeah, exactly. It's the title by Thomas Newman is called... Thank you.
George, we have one more cut from Dory, and tell us about this one.
This is called Fish Who Wonder, and this ties together everything that happens in the film and the lead characters actually coming together and the resolution. What's amazing about this is that when you put the two films together, they tie together as one unit, just as Toy Story 1, 2, and 3 did. And the films by Pixar they resonate emotionally with the audiences. You care about these characters on screen that are totally fictitious. A
right.
fish that talks with big eyes, or a fish that forgets.
Buzz Lightyear.
And you care about these characters. And that's the brilliance of the animation that has come out of Pixar. And of course,
next movie we're going to talk about looked very interesting to me in the trailers. Another animated.
Animated and live action, so it's a combination using a lot of CGI work and motion capture. The film is directed by Steven Spielberg, and it features the music of John Williams, which is what I'm interested in, considering that Williams, who's in the 90s, is still composing work.
Amazing.
And he's at Tanglewood, still doing summer concerts. The thing that's also interesting is the film, it's called the BFG, was from a story by Raoul Dahl, who did Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and James and the Giant Peach. So it has that type of fantastical overtone, but it also has an edge to it. All of Dahl's stories had edges to them, and the films have never really captured how dark some of those edges are. And that's if you read his short stories, they're great reading, but you always wonder, what was wrong with this man? The piece we're going to be listening to is actually the...
Where did these ideas come from?
Exactly. Right. Well, at the time, I mean, he was married to Patricia Neal at the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and this is when she had her stroke, and she was going through her rehabilitation. This is right after HUD back in the 1960s.
Wow.
And there's wonderful stories about how he did so much to help her, but I think it ended up in his stories. How he was dealing with some of the pressures.
The anxiety.
And the anxiety.
Right.
And now we have these classic tales. And this is a brilliant film. It hasn't really clicked with the box office, but I couldn't discard it because the music's by John Williams.
Thank you.
All right, George, let's stay in the land of giants and go to one more from BFG.
The piece that I've chosen is actually the finale. If you notice from the piece we just played, it is so John Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a lot of his signature motifs, and the finale just pulls everything together. And it also resonates emotionally for the action that's taken place on the screen, because anyone who's seen this film has taken on a journey of strict imagination. And then to realize that, you know, this actually can translate to our lives. We just learned something, not only about the characters, but we've also learned about ourselves because we've been taken on this journey. So the piece, as I said, is the finale.
All right, we'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more. Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we're sitting with Rhode Island International Film Festival director George Marshall, and we're talking about summer blockbusters. Before we get to our next blockbuster, I just want to say once again that the film festival will be opening this week, Tuesday, August 9th through the 14th, celebrating 20 years.
20 years.
And August 9th will be at Vets and then lots of other locations throughout the festival itself. Check it out on the website, which is rifilmfest.org.
And folks will be interested with some of the titles that we have, including two world premieres that are of note. One specifically with Melissa McBride, for those who love The Walking Dead, it's called The Happies. And the other is a premiere regionally, and it's with Karen Allen from Indiana Jones and the...
Oh, yeah.
The whole, everything from Raiders down the line.
I haven't seen her in a while.
Yeah, yeah. So folks will find some interesting material that they would never find elsewhere, and great entertainment.
All right, now I have to ask you an insider question.
Okay, sure.
Okay, this is completely off the top, having nothing to do with anything.
Okay.
I'm sitting home, and I turn the TV on, and I'm watching Blue Bloods on CBS.
Okay.
One of my favorite commercial shows. I don't watch very much regular television. I'm usually a movie guy, HBO, Cinemax, Showtime, that kind of thing. But Blue Bloods was on, and I was watching it, and they were going to a problem in a different part of the city. So they went from their regular building,
right,
and they're going to this other borough to a police station.
Okay.
And it was Providence City Hall. I mean, there it was, bold as life, Haven Brothers parked in the side and everything. And I'm thinking to myself, why would a movie company as big or TV show as big as this use a clip of something that's at least well-known to the people in Rhode Island, mm-hmm. if not a lot more than that? Does that save a lot of money in those kind of situations?
Well, Rhode Island actually is a wonderful place to shoot movies, and that's a Steven Feinberg question, actually, because we give tax credits for those that have budgets above a certain level. Mm-hmm. That encourages people to come here, and they hire Rhode Island artists to work, and that could be everyone from a set dresser to someone who's doing craft services, that's food. It could be actors, it could be actresses, it could be technicians building the set. I mean, the Jack Black movie currently shooting in Rhode Island, Polka Kings, is actually produced by the same folks that did Infinitely Polar Bear, the Mark Ruffalo movie last year.
Yeah.
And they like working here because it's not only user-friendly, but the people here are actually kind. They're really nice people,
right.
And they're professional. So shooting something in Rhode Island is actually easy to do. You don't have to go through all kinds of gyrations to get licensing here. Steven actually facilitates all of that. In California, if you're a student at USC, and I can certainly speak from this experience because it happened to me, I have to get a license if I'm shooting actually on the street with a film camera. It's not just you can't go out there and just do it. If you're shooting something professionally, they actually make sure you get licensing and you pay for it. Here, you don't have those restrictions. We don't have a lot of the games that are played within the industry that restrict access to doing this. And so it doesn't surprise me at all. It's a great location. City Hall is a beautiful space to shoot.
It's a beautiful
building. People come in here and they use our downtown Providence as a backlot for New York.
Right.
And so you have everything from Underdog that was shot here that's set in New York. You will see Rhode Island actually is kind of a microcosm
of
the nation.
Or even going back further, Amistad with the State House
absolutely.
Being the capital.
Or for your edification, meet Joe Black.
Right.
Because you were in it.
That's right. Yeah.
So, Rhode Island is an amazing backlot. Call it a studio within itself, because you can travel to the south, you get the beaches, you go up north to Lincoln Woods and you start getting, forests. You can go anywhere in Rhode Island and have something that would reflect a part of the nation, which I think is really cool.
It is very cool. All right, in the first two segments of the show, we listened to a lot of music that was somewhat at the beginning, Captain America, very superhero and strong and powerful, and then we went to Zootopia and Dory and BFG, and now we go back to a clip that's on television that a lot of people are seeing that may be one of the strongest looking guys I've ever seen.
Oh, I know. And that's Matt Damon. And I must be honest with you, I have a real affection for this franchise. And I'm glad to see Matt Damon doing this again. I mean, he was wonderful in The Martian last year. But to see Matt Damon pick up the Bourne character again, and then we carry that story arc even further. Those were strong films. They were well directed. The action sequences were amazing. And Damon's an engaging actor. He really is.
He seems like the nicest guy in the world. I saw him interviewed about The Punch, the famous Punch that I'm talking about. And he said, well, it's the other guy that was the talent. He said, all I had to do was swing my fist. And it was the other guy that made it look like he got hit that fell. And that was the real hard part.
And he's a New Englander. And it's nice to see someone from this region actually be successful, particularly as he's been. And he's got a reputation of being a nice guy. And his social interest causes are just amazing, too, because we've had some work in the festival that reflected things dealing with water conservation and, the future, given where we are ecologically. And his interest is he's not a bystander. He's an active participant. And I respect the fact that he has a passion for that. But to see Bourne return, it's exciting.
It is. And
the music we're going to be playing is by John Powell and David Buckley. And we've chosen as our first piece the opening title, I Remember Everything.
Thank you.
George, let's go to one more piece from the Bourne movie.
Yeah, I think this is a nice wrap. It's called Extreme Ways, and it ties together all the action in the film, and it also lets you know what's going to be happening next with the Bourne character.
I didn't give up the light. I closed my eyes.
George, as usual, I can't thank you enough for coming in and bringing your intelligence and music to our audience.
Well, thank you, Mike. It's always a pleasure.
A lot of fun. We have one more movie to talk about, and that's, again, a long series of both television and movies.
Exactly.
Star Trek.
And this film, of course, follows the journey that began in the 1960s with William Shatner, and of course it's now been reimagined with a totally new cast and actually a changed timeline to allow them to redo some of the material from the past. Actually, the first two movies that were done by J.J. Abrams were recycling past Star Trek movies. This one is like an old episode, but it has a fresh new feel to it. And this is Star Trek Beyond. The music, of course, is now by Michael Giacchino, and it has its own special theme to it, and it has its own quality to it. But I think it enhances the Star Trek legend. It's a good film, and the music, I think, is tight and memorable. So we're going to be listening to the Star Trek main theme.
All right, and this will wrap up our program of summer blockbusters. And once again, thanks, George. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
We'll see you next time, and we'll see you all next week on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.